those that are justified by his righteousness have passed the sentence of the law, the sentence of death. It will not be executed on them because complete and full payment has been made by our Savior. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And then we have the grace of God that bringeth salvation, which hath appeared to all men. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 49. Can somebody read that Proverbs 12, 49 for me? Brother Larry, can you read that? Yeah, I know. 28. Last verse in the whole chapter. And God has given us a lot of good doctrine out of this chapter of Proverbs. You know, this last verse is very, very interesting. It says, 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Does this mean someone who is righteous will never die? Praise the Lord. It's our blessed hope wrapped up for us here in the Old Testament. We find it in Job, we find it in Psalms, and here we find it in Proverbs. In the way of righteousness is life. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, I'll just read it. It says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And sometimes we say that God will lead us through our lives and he'll lead us to death. But that's incorrect. He'll lead us over death. You know, the death of a believer and the death of someone who knows not Jesus Christ are two far different things. If you could imagine that door right there, and if we open that door, we all pretty much know what's on the other side of the door. Amen? Because we've all been out there and seen it. Because we've investigated. Some of us have even been through that door. The door of death. None of us have been through that door. I've had people come to me and tell me how they died on the operating table and how they died in the back of an ambulance and how they were dead for 2 minutes and then they brought them back. What they mean is their heart stopped for a couple minutes, but there's a bit of time before you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, there's judgment. So when we approach the door of death, we know that there's something on the other side of that door. Amen? How do we know? Jesus told us. Now what's on the other side of that door for someone who has placed their trust in Christ, has received salvation through his death? What's on the other side of that door? Absent from the body and present with the Lord. What is on the other side of that door of death for someone who does not trust Christ? The rich man had also died, and he opened his eyes, and he was in. Can you imagine if I was going to open this door, and a wall of hot lava was going to pour in here? I don't think anybody'd be in favor of opening that door. Imagine if I was going to open that door and we were all going to be able to step out there on streets of gold so pure it's transparent that we were going to be with the Lord in Abraham's bosom. The life of the soul God's created two types of bodies that are going to go into eternity. And one type of body is going to be a celestial body, and it'll spend the eternity in heaven. The other body is going to be an indestructible body, but it's going to be a body to damnation. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible talks about everlasting life, and then it talks about the second death. And the second death in Revelations is mentioned in this way: and the smoke of their torments went up forever and ever and ever. Eternal life is, so shall we ever be with the Lord, which is also forever and ever and ever. We sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days. We will not have less time. There will be no sand come out of our hourglass, because eternity is forever and ever and ever. And we'll ever be with the Lord. The life of the soul, or spiritual life, or eternal life, is in the true way of righteousness. It's instilled and ensured by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ gives us his righteousness, it's called justification. We've looked at that a few times lately. A justification. It's where one is made alive and reckoned alive in Christ. He enjoys spiritual peace and comfort arising from the love and favor of God. God has made him acceptable through Jesus Christ, payment for his sins. He is able to walk justified before God, path of holiness. Freedom is not freedom to do whatever we want. Freedom is freedom to do what is right. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The path of holiness is a narrow and a straight way in Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And all that are in Jesus live spiritually and will live eternally. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Those that are justified by his righteousness have passed the sentence of the law, the sentence of death. It will not be executed on them, because complete and full payment has been made by our Savior. They're passed of, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And then we have the grace of God that bringeth salvation, which hath appeared to all men. Thanks be to God. Those that walk in the path of righteousness, those that have the righteousness of Christ, there's life, and there is no death therein. Look with me in John chapter 1. Over there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Pretty happy some of our kids can turn real quick to some of these scriptures. I hope they use that skill during the message time. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's Jesus Christ, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the word that was with God and the word that was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Bible tells us later that the light shined in a darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then this is a condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We have that light that shined into the world to give light to men, Jesus Christ. Back in Proverbs, in the way of righteousness is life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ, salvation, and the pathway thereof is no death. If we look in Proverbs, and we're going to be in 8, 9, and 10, right? Boom, boom, boom. So let's get back to Proverbs. Go to chapter 8. In Proverbs 8, and way down in verse 35. Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. If you go back a few verses, you'll see that it's wisdom crying. If you go back to chapter 1, say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, and fools despise all understanding and instruction. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is the way of salvation. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? He loses his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for soul? When he comes up to the door of death and he's thinking, oh, you know what? Hope I did enough good stuff. I hope that God receives me. I hope that I'm in Christ. We should make sure of those things on this side, here and now. Open that door of death. We need to approach it with boldness and with gladness, knowing that our Master and our Savior is on the other side. Knowing that he's not having a set of horns and a pitchfork. Knowing that our Master is not unrighteousness, the devil, but that our Master is righteousness, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I'm not afraid, I'm ready. This world fades, and that world grows brighter. Wisdom, Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 9 and verse 10. We see the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. God promises length of days and life inside of wisdom. That wisdom is accepting Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 10 and verse 16. The Bible tells us the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. You know what the labor of the righteous is? If you go to Ephesians, this is spelled out for us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The next verse 10 says, workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Every Christian is predestined to do good works for God. God saved us to work for him. Interesting, isn't it? How many of you have ever wished, I wish God would have saved me 1 second and took me to heaven the next second, so that I could just be clean and pure and washed in the blood of Christ, and as soon as I was all clean, say, God, thank you for your salvation, and just beam me up And God said, no, that's not my plan. I have some things for you to do. I have some good works. I've created you in righteousness unto good works. I've ordained them for you to walk in. I have some good works for Mr. Lindsay. I've got a job list for him to do. And there's a list, the Bible calls it a vocation in Ephesians chapter 4. He has things for every Christian to do. Even our Savior said, I must be about my Father's business. Think he ever wished he was back in heaven? He said, oh God, I'm missing that glory that you and I had when you created the world. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Just beam me up now. Not my will, but thine be done. And we have to say with our Savior, thy will be done, and work the works of righteousness. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that has sent me. Who sent him? The Father. Well, it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Look with me in Proverbs 11, verse 19. It says, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. James tells us, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And you might be started on a sin, and if that sin has a complete maturity and a complete life, and you completely submit and practice it, it will end in your death. Young people look at different things of sin where they haven't had the opportunity. We talk about the cow leaning out through the fence, and they go, oh, what's out there for me? Wow, this is really living. Wow, I used to be all in slavery and bondage to my parents, but now I am really free and I am really living. When their sin is death and it is bondage, it's not freedom and life, it's death and bondage. Now, woo, I'm living it up now. I remember when I was so held back by my parents, and I'm so free, and I'm living. And they're poor, naked, and blind, weaving around themselves the strings of their bondage. It's so easy to look around and say, the world's so wicked and all I'm doing is this. Now, I told you, I got up in court and the guy that got it before me had fell asleep and ran into a school bus. And I'm like, yes! He hit his school bus. Now when the judge hears what I did, he's going to be like, oh, that's nothing. We got this guy that hit his school bus to deal with. Just go out of here. That's not what the judge did. And we might want to compare ourselves around and say, look how evil the world is, God, and look what I'm doing. It's nothing compared to them. I can't even feel bad about my sins when I see what's going on the news. And we take that attitude. Your sin, if you continue to regard iniquity in your heart, it'll mature and it'll lead to your death. The Bible clearly says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I read a story where a young boy picked up some fishing worms, and he put it in his back pocket, and him and his dad were going fishing. And they were using their bait, and then he started pulling out these special worms he found. And his dad took one look at those special worms, and they were baby rattlesnakes. And they had been biting him. He just had little ones, just fresh out of the eggs. And they killed him. And we might look around and say, well, my sin is so, you know, I can't even feel bad about having an attitude after I see all the transgender stuff and all the same-sex marriage and all of the debauchery and lying and criminal things that the politicians are getting away with. I just have a bad attitude. How can I feel bad about that, God? God says, you can feel bad about it because that bad attitude followed Christ to the cross and was placed on top of him with all the other sins of the world. See, if we sit in our human condition, sin seems less sinful to us. And if we sit in our own sin, we get used to it. Jackie and I knew a guy that ate garlic all the time. And when he ate garlic, it started to come out of him. Not that you could see it, but oh, you knew it was there. It came out of his skin. Come out of his breath. It just garlic. You know, he was so used to that garlic, he didn't even smell it. He didn't even know how bad he reeked of garlic. And sometimes we can get to the point with our sin that we don't feel bad about it. We've gotten accustomed to it. We become blind to it. We think we're okay. We need a Savior. Look with me in Romans chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. Chapter 5. In verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. How much sin does a person have to do to be a sinner? God put Adam and Eve in the garden. Eat off every tree you want, but there's one tree in the middle. Don't eat off of it. That's the only rule. They went and they ate off that tree. Luke, it's like, eat off all these other trees and leave that tree alone and you're on God's side. Eat off that tree and you're on the devil's side. How many sins did they do before God kicked him out of the garden? Now, in our human looking at, we go, all they did was ate off a tree that God said not. Anybody could have got mixed up on what tree they were eating off of. It was the only rule. There was no way to get them off on a technicality. They went and ate off the only tree they weren't supposed to eat off of. And the devil, the serpent, said, hey, if you eat off this tree, you're going to be like God. You're not going to need God anymore if you eat off this tree. Their sin was more than disobedience, wasn't it? It was insurrection against God. They questioned God's goodness and his judgment about saying, don't eat off this tree. Yeah. Oh, well, I've seen this and I've done this and I know that this isn't that bad. I don't know what you Christians in the Bible and all that has such a big deal about it. And we leave God's side and we join the side of the devil. How lost were you? We have a capacity or a tendency to think that someone that was a drug addict and in jail and had all these, they're a real sinner. And here I was just doing this. No, you're just as lost as they are, and it's just as much hell for you as it is for them. How lost was Adam and Eve? When they were kicked out of the garden, an angel stopped the way. He stopped the way so that they wouldn't go back in and eat off the tree of life and live forever in their sin. It was God's kindness and God's mercy. It was his justice and judgment. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I looked in Ecclesiastes, a father isn't tried for the son's sin, and the son isn't tried for the father's sin. Everyone is tried for their own sin. Look, you're not in trouble because Adam and Eve ate off of a tree a long time ago. You did get the sin nature from that, but you chose to sin at a certain point in your life, and you were guilty before God, personally, for yourself. You came up to that point when you knew what was right and what was wrong, and you chose to do wrong. And in a metaphor, you ate off the tree. And you were naked. Death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. God promised in Genesis 3 a remedy for sin. Look with me quickly in Romans chapter 6. We'll look at 22 and 23. In 22 it says, but now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We looked in Ephesians and we saw that it's not of works lest any man should boast. How did you receive salvation? There's three words in the Bible. Believe, receive, and accept. In three different places, you use those words, it's the same idea. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Receiving God. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Accepting salvation, freely offered and freely given. Thanks be to God. It is a gift of God. Can we all say that together? It's a gift of God. I didn't deserve my salvation. It's a gift of God. It's not the wages that I earned. It's the gift of God. The wages I earned were the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. Thanks be to God for his gift. We look in Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12. I'll read these ones for you. For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously or soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We have the gift of God, we have the grace of God. God's grace. Salvation is not God forgiving us our sin debt. Salvation is Jesus Christ paying our sin debt. Can you imagine? Luke, can you imagine going down to traffic court and taking your checkbook with you? And as every person had a debt, you wrote out, State of Oregon, $400, hand them the check. State of Oregon, $250, hand them the check. State, they go, oh, I went to court and I got off perfectly free. There's a guy there and he heard my case and he heard my judgment and he wrote out an amount and a check and he gave it to me. I got off scot-free. Rachel and Luke are at home and they're looking at their checkbook and they're saying, it absolutely was not scot-free. It cost somebody something. A great deal. See, the state of Oregon looked at their checks and said, everything's been paid. Sometimes we receive the check written by Jesus Christ for our sin debt, and we say, I got off scot-free, and we forget how much it actually cost. We don't appreciate what it actually cost. We don't live in an appreciation of God's goodness to us. The Bible talks in Jude about taking the grace of God and turning it into a license to sin. Because God has given us His grace, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We have the gift of God. We have the grace of God. In Isaiah 61, Jesus Christ. You can see this in Luke 4 also. Isaiah 61, Jesus Christ in the temple. The Spirit of God. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. Our salvation is a gift of God. It is the grace of God. And we're clothed in His righteousness. Let me finish reading this. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Paul says in Philippians, I count all things but dung that I might win Christ and be found in Him, not my own righteousness by works, but in the righteousness of Christ, which is by grace and faith. I almost wore a suit coat tonight so I could put it on somebody. But I think you can see the picture. And I think you know that Christ put His righteousness on you. The gift of God, the grace of God, and the garment of God. His righteousness. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. God sees Jesus Christ's righteousness on us. Do you remember the prodigal son coming home? They put a ring on his finger. They put a robe on him, and they put shoes on his feet. It was a sign of acceptance, authority, and belonging. God sees us in the robe of Christ's righteousness, and He sees us become the sons of God. Justification. God sees us just as if I never sinned. Oh God, I see how I am. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for your garment. In Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, hung on the cross of Calvary. He fulfilled every prophecy. He was mocked by the two malefactors on either side. The centurion said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The earth rent the veil of the temple from top to bottom. All the disciples were scattered that night. And after 6 hours on the cross of Calvary, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." What was finished? He gave up the ghost. The Bible tells us that they did not kill him, that he gave his life up. Everything was fulfilled. Salvation. Did he really finish it? They asked George W. Bush what he felt was the greatest mistake he made as president. He said after 6 weeks in Iraq, he stood out in front of the White House with a banner behind him that said, "Mission accomplished." In reality, the mission was far from accomplished, and it's still not accomplished. He said it was a shame to him and a shame to the American people that he did that. Our Savior did not say, "It is finished," when it really wasn't. He didn't say, "Mission accomplished," when the mission was not accomplished. He didn't say, "Mission accomplished," about a mission that never will be accomplished. When he said, "It is finished," it is finished. There is nothing you can do to earn or improve upon your salvation. It's perfect, rested from the hands of Christ. It's finished. Now we do have the opportunity to love and serve God, thank Him, and live a life of good works that He's ordained for us. Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Righteousness, just doing right. If you are actively sinning, you're going back to the same sin. You're going back to it in your mind. You're going back to it in your behavior. You are not seeking His righteousness. You're seeking your sin. Christ took our sin and gave us His righteousness. We should live soberly, godly, and righteous in this present evil world. We shouldn't lose sight of ourselves and who we really are. In ourselves and in the flesh, and also in Him and in the Spirit. Thank God for what He's won for us on Calvary.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.